Zacchaeus, the wee little man. And this story is only found in the Gospel of Luke. It only covers 10 verses. And there's something special, though, about Zacchaeus. And there's something special about the interaction that he has with Jesus. So we're going to examine this story for the second part of our assembly. Let me again thank you, the congregation, for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. It's been an honor. It's been a blessing to get an opportunity to stand before you and present a lesson from God's Word. And this congregation, it's the first time I've been here, first time I've met many of you, and you all will be in my prayers, and I pray that we will be in your prayers as well. Luke chapter 19, we'll look at Zacchaeus. In a moment, we'll read the first 10 verses together, but you're probably familiar with the children's song, right? They may have even sang it this morning in one of the children's classes. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." Pick up there in verse 1. Then Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I think the first thing that we need to remember here is the context in which this passage exists. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. Now, Mark's account, which does not include this encounter with Zacchaeus, but the end of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we see another man who is seeking after Jesus, and that's Bartimaeus, a man who's blind. But then we've got this guy, a short tax collector, chief tax collector, who is seeking after Jesus. So it just begs the question right off the bat, are you seeking Jesus? As these two gentlemen were, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. So let's look at some key phrases together in this passage. The first one is verse 2. Zacchaeus is described as a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, this is the only time in the Bible where we read that phrase, chief tax collector. We find tax collectors sprinkled throughout the New Testament. This is the only time we read chief tax collector, because Jews hated men like him. He was viewed as a traitor working for the Roman government, not for their Jewish community. They were known as corrupt. They were known as people who took advantage of others. They were liars, thieves, embezzlers. They were dishonest. They cared more about the almighty dollar than they cared about the almighty God. But not only did the Jews not like taxes, but also the way that they were collected. Now, we think about the pyramid scheme today. It existed 2,000 years ago. The chief had guys working for him. So Zacchaeus would have guys working for him. He'd tell them to go out. This is how much you are to collect. Whatever you get beyond that, you get to keep. But Zacchaeus, being a chief collector, tax collector, would have received some of that portion as well. And the common person didn't really know how taxes were calculated, somewhat like today. So they would just have to comply. This is how much you owe, and they would comply. And oftentimes they collected much more than what was really needed. So that's why there was so much resentment against men in Zacchaeus' position. Another phrase we find is he sought to see Jesus, because he was of short stature. Now, this idea of seeking or or searching for Jesus. He was trying to see who Jesus was. There was a passion, there was a drive to see Jesus. And it's interesting that Luke goes out of his way to describe his physique. Zacchaeus' physique. And his height put him at a disadvantage of seeing Jesus. You've got this crowd of those who are sick and they're lame and they're blind and they want Jesus to heal them and take care of them. They're following Jesus. This is a guy, Zacchaeus, who was seeking after him and he couldn't see him. His physical stature did not allow him to see Jesus. Fourth phrase I want us to keep in mind, the third phrase is found in verse 4. He ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree is the largest deciduous tree in the eastern U.S. It's 75 to 100 feet tall. Its trunk is 10 feet in diameter. So it's a big tree. And because of its size, it made it great for shade. And oftentimes it was found along, you know, streams or open areas. So it was a very big tree. But consider Zacchaeus' wealth, his power, his position, his authority. This is a guy who was willing to do what it took. He was willing to climb a tree to see Jesus. The next one is this phrase that we find in verses 5 and 6. Make haste and come down. We find it in both verses. Look again with me. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. Notice what Jesus says to him. Make haste and come down. Luke records for us in verse 6, that is exactly what Zacchaeus did. He made haste and he came down. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. It wasn't burdensome to Zacchaeus. He didn't debate with Jesus. He didn't argue with Jesus. He did exactly what he was told to do. Next one is, he received him joyfully. Again, keep in mind his job, his authority, his power, his possessions. Don't you think he'd receive some ridicule for seeking after Jesus this way and taking him into his house? Of course he would. Of course he would. But Zacchaeus was willing to put everything aside because of the value that he saw in seeing Jesus. In verse 7, they say, this man who is a sinner. There are a number of passages within Scripture that describe to us that tax collectors were mentioned in the same breath as sinners. Publicans and sinners, publicans and harlots. So if publicans are considered or were considered one of the biggest sinners or the greatest sinners, the worst sinners, think about the chief publican. The chief tax collector would have been considered the worst of the worst. This attitude is reflected there in verse 7. And in verse 8, we come to Zacchaeus' decision. Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. These weren't just minor changes that Zacchaeus was making. These were major changes. Not change out of his pocket to throw to someone. This is Zacchaeus' wealth. This is his position, his authority, his possessions taking a hit. But he was willing to do what it took. He was willing to change. So I want us to take three lessons from Zacchaeus' life and three lessons from Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. And I trust that you make the proper applications in your life as you see fit. The first one is this, that none of us really measure up. Zacchaeus is just a normal guy. He's a normal guy to whom we can relate. And none of us can really measure up. The one thing we all know about Zacchaeus is that he was vertically challenged. He was a wee little man. But we think about from a spiritual perspective, and none of us really measure up either. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When it comes to God's standard, we're like wee little men as well. We all fall short of God's standard. But the first step in salvation is recognizing that in our own goodness, we will never measure up, that we need Jesus. We all seek something. We all seek something. Something was missing in his life. He was a desperate man. He was rich. He was dignified. Yet notice what he did. He ran to see Jesus. You know what desperate people do? They run. You ever lost a kid maybe in the mall, the grocery store? You don't take a leisurely stroll through the mall, do some more window shopping. You run and you try to find that child. If you're late for your flight, your connecting flight, and you've got to get from one gate to the next, you run because you're desperate, because you don't want to miss your flight. Desperate people run. You know what else desperate people do? They climb trees. Some of you kids still may climb trees. I remember climbing trees as a kid, but I don't do that anymore as an adult. It's not appealing. But he was desperate enough to run, and he was desperate enough to climb trees because he knew he needed Jesus. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Zacchaeus had an itch in his heart that all his wealth and all his authority and all his possessions could not scratch at all. He knew he needed something. What he needed was Jesus. You remember, I don't even know if they still do these things or not, the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. You get those letters in the mail. I remember getting them as a kid and thought that we hit the jackpot. But the way that they generate those letters, they appear to be personal because they use a computer, they enter your name several different places, and they make it seem like you're just a handful of millions and millions of people to receive this letter when just about everyone got one in their mailbox. It may sound as if you're the only one getting it, or you're the only one going to win millions, but everybody else has gotten a personal letter as well. Well, there's a story about a computer-generated letter that was sent to a church in Tampa, the Bushnell Assembly of God. They just happened to get it in their mailbox one day, and the church got a letter that said this: God, we've been looking for you. You are a finalist to receive $11 million in sweepstakes. So don't just sit there, God. Return your sweepstakes form today. Now, the Tampa Tribune interviewed the preacher there, who said, well, he didn't plan on returning that form because God didn't need the money. He already had at least $11 million. But the phrase that really stood out is, God, we've been looking for you. People today are looking for something. They seek purpose. They seek meaning. They try to find it in drugs. They try to find it in alcohol. They try to find it in their career. But what they need, what we need, is God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And keep in mind that phrase there found in Luke 19 and verse 3, that Zacchaeus sought after Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Who diligently seek him. This isn't passive seeking. This is active. This is a desire. This is a drive. And the scriptures are full of admonitions to make every effort, every sacrifice to fight the good fight, to press on to the goal, to work out your own salvation. There aren't any scriptures that tell us that we can coast into heaven, that we can float our way into heaven. Eternal life is given to those who seek. So are you desperately seeking for something? Because Jesus is here today, and that search, that seeking can stop with Jesus. That can be the end of your search. The third one is we can overcome limitations. We can overcome limitations. Jesus was so significant to Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus was not conquered by his limitations. His height, his wealth, his authority, he conquered them. In fact, he used them in a quite remarkable way. I want you to think about this. With your job, if you're constantly complaining about your limitations, you weren't excelling, you weren't even meeting expectations, but you were constantly complaining about your limitations, what do you think your boss was going to do? He'd let you go. He'd find somebody else. I was very fortunate to work for Cox Media for 13 and a half years in a number of different roles. If I told my boss, you know what, I need a newer phone. My phone or my computer is not fast enough. you know what, I need to get more mileage. I only get 37 cents when I should be getting 52 and a half cents. If I complain constantly about those limitations, they would have found someone else to replace me. Zacchaeus made zero excuses. In situations where we may make plenty of excuses. We all have personal limitations, do we not? No one here is a perfect specimen. We all have physical qualities that are good, but none of us have the perfect skin tone. None of us are the perfect weight or the perfect height, the perfect definition. Everyone has limitations. But do those limitations define who you are? When we fail to overcome our limitations and we rather use them as an excuse, we are saying that God hasn't given us the power to overcome those limitations. We're calling God unfaithful. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can live in fear, we can live in timidity, and we can box ourselves in. God knows our limitations and He's given them to us, because He's confident that we can overcome those limitations. God is confident in you. And God's confident in me. Let's shift gears a little bit. Look at Jesus. 3 points with Jesus. Go back to the text there in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has done what? To come to seek and to save that which was lost. Keep that idea in mind as we consider these 3 points with Jesus. The first one is He knows you. He knows who you are. The very first word out of Jesus' mouth in verse 5 is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Jesus knows you. We like it when somebody calls us by our name, right? It gives a personal feeling to that, that there's genuine interest. Not just, hey you, or hey man. It's, how you doing, Nick? There's a special connection there already. That's what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. He made it personal with Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Zacchaeus was probably a guy who was called every name of the book except his name, Zacchaeus, because of his role in society. But Jesus made it personal with him. We don't have to wear a name tag for God. God knows who we are. God knows our struggles. He knows our hardships. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Notice what's said there. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Watch this. You are mine. Jesus, earlier in the Gospel of Luke, says this in Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. As much as I love Nicole, as much as I love my two girls, I have never bothered to take the time to count the number of hairs on their head. I doubt I ever will. But God knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows how many hairs you lose in one day. He knows how many grow back, some at a faster rate than others. When it comes to you, God has an intimate knowledge about you. Your body, your family, your finances, your relationships, everything in your life. He knows the pain that you've been having in your body. He's aware of your financial worry. He knows how your boss is poorly treating you. He understands the hurts that you've been keeping in your heart. Your heavenly Father wants you to know that as long as something concerns you, that concerns Him as well. You may think you're all alone in this world. Nobody cares about you. Nobody knows your hardships and your worries. But there's a loving God who created the universe and who created you, who loves you and cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's personal. That's personal. Second point is this. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. Back in the text there in Luke chapter 19, Jesus calls him by his name. He beckons Zacchaeus to come down from that tree. And if you remember the song, and if you are familiar with the hand motions that go with the song, normally it's this, right? Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. It's this, you know, this finger pointing, this very stern tone of voice. But I'm convinced that the way that Jesus interacted with people, there was love and there was compassion, that Jesus said it in a more compassionate, loving tone. That Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. Now, I'm certain that there are many who are in the crowd, those citizens of Jericho, who knew this little tax collector. They even may have been verbalizing this. They're probably at least thinking it, that Zacchaeus is finally going to get what he deserves. He's finally going to get what he deserves. But Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn sinners. He came to save them. So let's go to your house. Let's go, Zacchaeus. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. John chapter 15, 13 through 15. Jesus says this, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." Jesus wanted to be a friend to Zacchaeus. And Jesus wants to be your friend as well. We don't have the power to make changes, the changes that we need to make on our own. But with Jesus in our lives, we can clean up our act. He did that for Zacchaeus, and he can do that for me, and he can do that for you. Third and final point is this. He sees you, as who you can become. Everyone looked at Zacchaeus, and what did they see? They saw a sinner. They saw a chief tax collector. They saw a guy who would take more than what was right. Do you know what the name Zacchaeus means? It means pure, it means clean, and it means innocent. Look at verse 9 with me again. Notice what Jesus says. "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." Salvation is a what? It's a cleansing. We are made pure in salvation. That is exactly what Zacchaeus and his word and his name means. He is pure, innocent, clean. Salvation is a cleansing. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Where is it found? It's only found in Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." By the name of Jesus, we can only be cleansed. We can only be made pure. Jesus didn't see a crooked tax collector. He saw a man who could become pure. He saw a man who could be so generous that he would give half his money away. Jesus could have easily said, "Zacchaeus, you're a thief. Now, after you change, after you repent and pay back what you owe these people with interest and with penalties, then I will come to your house and then I will eat with you." But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, "Come, let's get to know each other, and once you get to know me, you're going to see yourself in a different light. And you're going to want to make some changes." Jesus says the same to you today. You've made mistakes. We've sinned in our life. Jesus is here today, lovingly, lovingly pointing the finger at you and saying, "I come to seek and to save you. Come on now, let's be friends." Zacchaeus got to know Jesus. He demonstrated that he was a changed man. And it's easy for us to say, "You know what, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I've been saved. I've changed." But the proof is in what we do. We talked about in the first lesson, our heart. You can't suppress the heart. What comes out verbally, what comes out through our actions, it originates in the heart. We can say that we've changed. We can say that we've been baptized. We can say that I'm a Christian. Has there been a change in the way that you think, the way that you talk, and the way that you live? Let me encourage you this morning. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. You're a sinner. We don't measure up to God's standard. But Jesus has come to seek and to save you. When God looks at you today, He sees in you what you can become, the great potential that you have as a child of God. Let me close this morning and share this thought with you. There are two kinds of people. There's people like Zacchaeus who are searching for something. They realize that there's a void in their life. And perhaps they try to fill that void with the things of this world, with possessions and with drugs and with alcohol or their job. They work tons of hours. They try to fill that void with something that is physical, something that is temporal. They have an itch that they can't scratch because they need Jesus. And Jesus is here today. If you are in that category, saying, I want to be your friend. I love you. And I've come to seek and to save you. But most of us in this room, if not all of us, are former Zacchaeuses. We've scratched that itch. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We may think the story of Zacchaeus is a nice children's story. But let me ask you this question. Consider this question. Are you willing to be a tree to lift people above the crowd so they can see Jesus? Are you willing to be a tree to lift people above the crowd so they can see Jesus? Our role is like that sycamore tree. That sycamore tree was planted exactly where God wanted it to be planted, so it could lift Zacchaeus up so he could see Jesus. God has planted you somewhere. He's planted you exactly where he wants you to be, with your job, at school, in your community, with your family. Are you somebody are you that tree that you can lift someone up so they can see Jesus? As we close the book on 2018 and we enter into 2019, think about that question. Our job is to lift people up so they can see Jesus, and then Jesus takes over. Because where you are planted in your life is where God exactly wants you to be. Because you look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it's always about people. It will always be about people. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus wants to save people. Be somebody who they can see Jesus living in you. It has been about people and it will always be about people. So perhaps you're here this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning. And you're Zacchaeus, and you are searching for something. You've got an itch that you can't scratch. But only Jesus can fill that void. Plan of salvation is on the screen behind me. Hear the word, believe, repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Be baptized, have your sins washed away, and live faithfully. That desire to always grow, that desire to always seek Jesus, to know Him and know Him better. Well, if you're here this morning and you need the prayers of the group here, you have done that. You're a former Zacchaeus, but you're struggling right now. You need that encouragement. You need the prayers of the group here. You need that support. You need forgiveness of your sins. If there's anything in your heart this morning, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that our brother Andrew has chosen.